Good morning, Christ Church. It's a beautiful day to worship the Lord. Can I get an amen? All right, whether you're joining us in person, live stream, or in the parking lot, thank you, and let's raise our voices and praise the Lord of heaven.
Welcome to all those viewing us online this morning. It's good to see you. You're not going to be disappointed this morning. Jovan's got another awesome sermon coming our way. Couple quick reminders. I told you about the coat drive last week. We're going to be collecting coats for men, women, and children of all sizes. You can drop those off in the church foyer. I know that you guys are a very generous group, so I expect a giant mound of coats in the foyer that we're going to give to people in need this winter. It is going to get cold eventually. I know it's beautiful now, but they're going to need those coats this winter. So drop those off in the church foyer. More details on the app and on our website. Speaking of those two, there are three ways to give. Christ Church Ohio app, if you haven't downloaded, do that now. That's where you're going to get everything that's going on. You're going to get push notifications about any last-minute changes because we are in a last-minute world right now. And that's going to be our best way to communicate with you. Also, you can give through our ChristChurchOhio.org website. And then if you're here on site, we've got the black giving boxes. Finally, church, we have our Lord's Supper service in person and online this Saturday night at 5. So if you would like to take the Lord's Supper at home, make sure you grab a Lord's Supper packet before you go. Those will be available at the inside exits. If you would like to join us in person, we'll see you Saturday night at 5, and the packets will be available there. And then finally, back to regular services next week, 9:30 to 11, indoors. I hope to see all your smiling faces. If you want to sit on the back lawn, we'll have the speakers out. We'll see you then.
Thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. He is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. every gesture of your hand, waves of fear laps at your command. I know tomorrow, when the pressure rushes in, you'll be there to rescue me again. What a mighty God, what a mighty God you are. Soul will sing the same. Jesus Christ, name above all names. What a mighty God, what a mighty God you are. What a mighty God, what a mighty God.
The beautiful day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. I want to welcome everybody that is watching online. Hello, everybody. Everybody that's listening from the parking lot. And of course, the beautiful faces that I get to look at for the next 4 hours. That's how long my sermon is going to be. 4 hours. I got you. Welcome, everybody. Hey, if this is your first time hanging out with us here at Christ Church, man, we want to say thank you. It's a big deal that you're hanging out with us. We believe here at Christ Church, we are called to meet many and any, and that's what we want to do every single week. Well, guys, we're continuing and also ending a series today that we started a few weeks ago. And the series that we've been in is a series called Counter Countercultural. I almost got my tongue twisted. Countercultural. And the goal of this series is for us to make a decision. Now, we can go through week after week preaching and doing all these things, but at the end of the day, you have to make the decision what you're going to do after this. And the decision that we've been talking about is choosing Christ. Choosing Jesus. Why? Because he's better. As a matter of fact, the study that we have been in for the last several weeks has been in this book of Hebrews. If you had a chance, I would encourage you to read through it. And we've been talking about how Christ is better and how we're choosing Jesus because Jesus is the better leader. Jesus is the better hero. Jesus is the great shepherd. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. So at the end of all of this, this is all good and dandy. I'm here to preach to you. I'm here to speak through God for you. But at the end of the day, you have to make this decision. Is Christ enough for me? Is Christ enough for me? And if I make this honest decision in my life, that I would choose him above everything that I encounter. We've been talking about, again, the greatness and the beauty of Jesus. And the crux of our series, if we really can hit the core of it, the crux of our series is all about identity. You know, we live in a world where identity is everywhere. We find our identity in our politics. We find our identity in our jobs. As a matter of fact, a lot of us put our identity in our brokenness. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit as well. So today, and for the last several weeks, really we've been hitting the core of trying to find our identity in something better, and that better is Jesus. It's Christ. Because he offers something the world cannot give, and that's life. See, the world will promise you stuff. Christ will promise you life. The world will promise you this and that, but Christ promises you this thing called life. And to have this countercultural mindset is a call for us to have this identity. And this identity for you and I is all about being rooted in two things: what God has done and what God promises to do. What God has done for you and what God promises to do through you. We're coming out of a passage. Again, we're continuing our study in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews has been nothing about being a countercultural Christian. Not saying that we're better than the world, but we're deciding to be different. Because as a Christian, you're called to be different. You're called to be different. When others are doing one thing, you're called to do something completely different. Because you have one Lord, one Savior, one God. That's who you respond by. We continue in the passage, Hebrews chapter 13. I'm so excited for this message because this is a message that I believe that you can walk out of here equipped and ready to go in your Christian life, in your Christian walk. If that's something you desire to do today, I'm excited for what God wants to deposit in your heart. Because did you know God is all about depositing in your heart every single week? God wants to deposit something in you so you can live it out in your week. Hebrews chapter 13, we're going to read what they call the benediction. This is towards the end of the book. And the benediction is probably my favorite part of this whole entire book. I believe Hebrews is probably the top five most important books in the Bible. I believe that sincerely. And this author is going to tell us two things: what God has done and what God promises to do. Verse 20 is where I'm picking up at. Now, may the God of peace, who brought up the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting or eternal covenant, may he equip you with everything good to do his will, working in you what is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Today we want to talk about, again, the two most important things. Being countercultural is reminding ourselves what God has done, but also what God promises to do. Let me say a prayer before we begin. Father, I thank you for today's message. I pray that today's message is not just something that stays here and doesn't go out after when we walk out. I pray that it's a message that we can gravitate towards, that we can seriously take in consideration, and we can live out in our lives. Father, today we want to highlight the great blessings that you have done in our lives, but also the great promises that you say that you provide as well. We want to highlight the greatness of who you are, but also we want to take in consideration the greatness that you're going to do through us. So I pray that your sons and your daughters would be transformed. I pray that they be transformed into something new as they walk out of today. So God, I ask you to meet us where we're at. Bless us, encourage us. In Jesus' perfect name is who I pray. Amen. So today we want to talk about the blessings that come from above. But see, here's the thing. When I talk about blessings, a lot of you probably are saying to yourself, well, I don't feel blessed. If you knew my life, Jovan, if you knew my life, Christ Church, I feel the opposite of blessed. There's only one word that I can think of when we say the word blessed that's opposite of that, and that's the word called mess. Somebody said, amen. Some of us are stuck in mess. See, here's the thing. We come here week after week talking about how great Jesus is and how amazing he is and how beautiful he is and how wonderful he is. And we encourage people to follow and to pursue and to seek and to ask and do all these amazing things. But at the end of the day, you still have your mess. You still have your mess. And you say to yourself, well, that's all good and dandy. That sounds great. You encourage me really well. But at the same time, I got to go back home to this thing called dysfunction. Or ladies, you say to yourself, I got to go home to this thing called a husband. Oh, it's for my wife. We're all stuck in some type of what we call mess. And you know, the one thing about our mess, or the one thing about our dysfunctions that seem to pop up, that seem to be everywhere in our lives, we seem to give attention to it the most. We seem to give attention to what's wrong with us, or what's not right with us, or what's not in order, or what's not going well. We seem to give that more attention more than anything else in life. And I'll be honest with you, I'm the same way as well, too. You should have seen me on the way to work here. Listen, I got to preach. I was excited, but I was stressed out because I was so focused on mess, on what's wrong with my life, who left me, who rejected me, who decided to leave me, who stabbed me in the back. I'm pretty sure that's a lot of us here today. And so a lot of us are asking ourselves, listen, everything that we talk about Jesus is all good and well, but what about my mess? What about my brokenness? What about all the things that are going on in my life? One of my favorite quotes is one of my favorite pastor. He says this, we are a nation, or we are a world that is dominated by what we lack, that is dominated by what we don't have. In a mind, in a life, in a soul that is dominated by what we lack, cannot fully connect to what we gain actually in Christ Jesus. I want to say that again. When we are so dominated by what's wrong with us, we can never connect to what God has done for us, but also, most importantly, what he can do through us as well. See, we focus on the brokenness. We focus on all the hard things in our lives. And listen, I get it. They're painful. They suck. Yes, I said the word suck. You can email Doc later. They're hard. And for a lot of us, we try to ask ourselves, what do I do with this mess? But here's the one thing that we want to encourage you today. Life is hard. Life is a problem that is hard to solve. Life is a problem that is hard to solve. And when you're so overcome with your messes, you overlook how much you've been blessed. And when you are so overcome by all of your messes and all of what's wrong and all that doesn't go right for you, you've missed how much God has blessed you and how much God wants to continue to bless you. Now, this blessing that I'm talking about is not a blessing of possession, as most people probably will tell you. It's not a blessing of things. It's a blessing of eternal structure that he does in our heart. In this book of Hebrews, we want to talk about, and how we close, we want to gravitate towards this two main points, that our blessings have already happened, and God says, I'm going to continue to allow them to happen as well. The blessings that God has put in our lives, and the promises that God puts in our lives as well. Being countercultural is not allowing our messes to shape our life. Being countercultural is not allowing life experiences to shape you, but rather the blessings from Christ that shape you above all. Because those who are in Christ, those who desire to have a relationship, those who desire to follow and to walk, here's the one thing that you have to take in consideration: the greatness that God has done for you and the work that God wants to do inside of you. Because there's not a person here on this lawn. There's not a person that is watching through live stream. There's not a person that is listening out in the parking lot that God says, I will do great things through you no matter what's going on around you, because I'm the God that is for you. I'm the God that is for you, and God promises to bless us in our lives. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 to 21 helps you and I to understand the two great things: what God has done, what God promises to do. The author is trying to get to the point where he's reiterating, he's reviewing, he's helping this church that he's writing to remember the great things that God has done. Did you catch it in verse 20 when he says, the God of peace, who rose Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the everlasting covenant. Those are four great things that God has blessed us with. Those are four things that we have access to. But see, what happens is we forget what we have access to because our minds are always fixed on what's wrong with you and me. We have access to this thing called peace. We have access to this thing called power. We have access to this thing called promise. Those are the three things God has desired to do in your life: to give you his peace, to work through you through his power, but also to work through you through his promises as well. See, in our daily walk, we have to remind ourselves just how much God has done for us. The God of peace. That means we don't have a God that is distant, ineffective, but he's the God of peace. Now, there's two ways that we have to look at this. Number one, did you know that at one point there was this thing called separation between you and I and God? There was this thing called a sin, which all of us do every single day. And this thing called sin kept you and I from having a relationship with God. We had to rely on this thing called a law. But what we couldn't do, Christ did for us. Therefore, bringing peace between us and the Father. That's the peace that he's wanting us to understand. But this peace that he really wants us to really gravitate towards is a peace that God gives us. Innately, God's nature is nothing but peace. God's character is peace. See, while we walk around the halls of our house anxious and worried about every little crux of our lives, God is sitting on the throne saying, I'm not worried because I've been in tomorrow already. God is saying to himself, I have no reason to worry. I have no reason to grow anxious. I have no reason to grow weary because I'm the God of today and I'm the God of tomorrow. And because I know tomorrow, I can sit calmly. And God says, here's the thing, that peace that I have is the peace that I give to you. This is the peace that is able to transform those who suffer through this thing called anxiety. This peace is a peace that is able to transform the brokenness and the messes that are in families, that because God has made peace with us, we then make peace with other people as well. This is a peace that we have available to us. Have you experienced God's peace in your life? Have you really welcomed it in? But I've noticed this. In order to interact or in order to encounter God's peace, you got to take on God's priorities. If you want God's peace, you got to take on God's priorities. See, a lot of us, we ask God, God, give me peace. God, calm my nerves. Take away my stress. Take away my anxiety. And we go back doing the same things that led to the reason why we're anxious in the first place. We go back doing the same things that led to the stress, same things that led to those overwhelming moments. God says, if you take on my priorities, I will then share my peace. If you take on my values, you take on what I desire, if you walk according to how I want you to walk, you will experience this peace. Now, peace doesn't mean that it's the absence of problem. Rather, it's the presence of God. If there's anything that we've learned in COVID in this time, that we cannot avoid problems. We would like to, but we don't have that benefit. I think a lot of us would love if life was a lot like dodgeball. You can see the ball coming, therefore you can dodge it. You can see it when it's... I used to love playing dodgeball. I used to do backflips, splits, everything. Why? Because you saw the ball coming. Therefore, you can avoid the hit. We can't experience that in this world today. We can't experience the hits that come. We can't anticipate them when they come. But therefore, just because the hits come, peace can be there as well. Number two, he helps us to understand this. The power that raised Jesus from the grave. This is so encouraging right here. The power that raised Christ from the grave. Online and everybody listening on the parking lot, God gives us his power for three things. Number one, so that we can avoid and overcome temptation. This one thing that's always going to pop up is this thing called temptation. You and I are tempted in every single way. Now, when I say temptation, I don't mean to just directly correlate it with sex or directly correlate it with lust. All of us are tempted. Some of us are tempted to get angry and lash out. Some of us are tempted to lie. Some of us are tempted to be fake. Some of us are tempted in so many different areas. But this power that raised Christ from the grave is the same power that works in us. See, that's the blessing, that if we invite him in, if we invite this great power, God says, I will provide a way out. The great temptations you face cannot overpower the great work that I will put inside of you. Number two, this great power helps you and I to walk righteous. So we can walk according to what he wants. Did you catch what the author said in Hebrews? He says that God will equip you to do his will. To be countercultural is to take on God's will and not our own. To be countercultural is to take on God's purpose, God's main idea, God's agenda, God's big point, God's plan. It's not to take on our own. But see, here's this thing. You have this thing called what you want to do, and this thing called what God wants you to do. And they always are at battle with one another. They're always fighting with one another. I think I should do this, but I know you told me to do this. But I really want to do this, and I really want to go here. But God says, no, but I'm telling you to try this and try that. But see, by his amazing, sovereign, almighty power, God gives us the ability to choose his will. But we have to avoid our own at the first time. We have to avoid our own. God gives us the power. Number three, he talks about the great shepherd of the sheep. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible is John chapter 10. And it talks about just how Christ commits himself to the sheep. That's amazing. Jesus talks about how I'm committed to the sheep. You know, this idea of Christ being the shepherd and us being the sheep is one of the most powerful, profound things we can ever encounter in our lives. Because there are some times where we think we can be the shepherd. You know, the shepherd's job was to lead, and the shepherd's job was to provide, and the shepherd's job was to guide. But for you and I, we think we're the better providers. We're the better guiders. We're the better leaders. Therefore, I can be ahead of God. But I've noticed when I get ahead of God, that's how I lose my way. But if Christ is in front of me, if Christ is the great shepherd, if Christ has the throne and I step off it, not to say I don't have problems, but therefore I don't get off path. Because this great shepherd leads me in the paths of righteousness. This great shepherd keeps me, attends to me, but also he is committed to me. He's committed to me. So when I go too far left, by his gracious hand, he puts me back on track. When I think that I can do it all on my own, and I think that I'm free as a bird, and I can take care of every problem, and I can take care of my family on my own, and I'm the one to provide. God is the one that shows me and tells me, no, son, I'm the great provider. I'm the great shepherd. See, here's the thing about this shepherd. We have to do three things. We have to know him. We have to rest in him. And we need to follow him. Because this shepherd offers us something that's way better. That's great, greater. And that's life. And that's life. That's what God has done for us. You are more blessed than you think. You are more blessed than you can imagine. God has given you the opportunity to have access to his peace, have access to his power, have access to the protection of the great shepherd that guides you and protects you and that is committed towards you. But also, we have to understand what God promises to do through us as well. God promises to equip you for every good thing that he has for you in your life. This word equip really means to restore, to put back together. It means when something's out of socket, when a joint has been out of socket or something has been broken, the surgeon or the doctor will go out of the way and they would position it and mend it and heal it. This equipping means that God's going to restore everything in your life. Only if you see him as the God of peace, the God who protects, the God of power, and the God that provides for you. God is in the business of restoring and equipping widows. God is in the business of equipping and restoring those who struggle with depression and anxiety. God is equipping and restoring those to good works, the wives that feel devalued in their homes. Christ is equipping and restoring the husbands that are scared, the husbands that are overwhelmed with fear, the husbands that have been overwhelmed and scarred by the failings of their parents. God is equipping and restoring teenagers, the ones who face the pressures of society, telling him to go this way when God tells them to go that way. God is restoring and God is equipping to good works the divorces. God is restoring and equipping those who've lost something this year, those who've lost someone this year. God is restoring and equipping those who are financially in debt and struggling. God equips you and I to do the great work that he has prepared for us in our lives. God gives us what we need to do everything that we need to do. God promises to restore and equip everything we need so that we can do everything God has called us to do. He's restoring us to the work that he's put inside of us from the beginning. Because God has a work for you today. No matter the mess, no matter the dysfunction, no matter the screw-ups, no matter the failures, God has a great work through you. And if anything, the great things that we consume ourselves with are the very things God's going to use for the good work that he has for you and I. That's his promises that he makes. Those who have made major failures in their lives, those who have major hiccups in their lives, don't be consumed by those things. Ask the great God to restore and to equip you. God promises to do that. But God can't do what you can't give. God can't restore what you don't give him. God can't equip what you don't hand to him. God can't repair what you don't give. So my question is today, yes, the great messes that we talked about early on today, the great brokenness that we all have, are you willing to allow God to say, not just only take it, but God, I want you to use it. God, I don't want you just to take it. God, I want you to use it so I can be equipped for the good works you have for me. I met a young man last week, and he talked to me about his a drug addiction that he had. And he began to go on and on and on and on about how he went through years of suffering and years of going on and suffering with many different drugs and all these things. And he has an amazing story. I hope that he can tell it to the church one day. But the one thing that he reminded me is that he said to himself, I came to Christ because of my great struggles. And my great struggles helped me to find my greater purpose. He says, my great struggles, my great mess, my great losses, my great dysfunction, that's where God met me, but that's not where God left me. He says, that's where God decided to meet me. But God didn't leave me there because he's the faithful shepherd. He's a God of power and a God of peace. And God met me in those moments. And God will meet you today if you will hand over to him what you call mess. But don't just give it to him. Ask God to use it. I firmly believe that each and every one of us have our hiccups and each and every one of us have our brokenness for one reason and one reason only, to give glory to God. So that God can get the credit for your life. When he redeems you, when he restores you, when he renews you, when he transforms you. Because the greatest blessings are what God does in me and how he transforms me. So as we close today, I want to encourage you and I want to inspire you that as the band makes their way up, that you would give him what you think you lack. You would give him the mess. You would give him those ugly moments in your life. You would give him those broken things that you don't like about yourself. You would give him what your mother did, what your father did, what your job did, what someone didn't do. But I don't want to just ask you just to tell him to take it. But God, I want you to use it. Because this author helps us to understand that God equips us for the good work that he has for us through the messages that are in front of us. As we pray today, have a real moment with God. Have a real moment with God and say, listen, I'm overwhelmed, I'm broken, I'm burdened, but God, sometimes that's just how you like it. The more broken, the more God can use it. The more broken, the more God can use you. Let me say a prayer. Heavenly Father, this is a moment that we have to embrace. Lord, there are spouses and moms and dads and grandparents and children, aunts and uncles, stepmoms and stepdads, brothers and sisters, people that are sitting here on this lawn, listening in on live, that have nothing but messes. They have nothing but great mess in their lives. But God, I pray that we can have the faith to trust you with the mess, but also trust that you would use it as well. God, you want to transform something inward inside of me, but also you want to use the brokenness that is inside of me too. So God, I give it to you, but I want you to use it as well. My great struggle has helped me to understand my great purpose, my great reason to exist in this world, and that's to give you glory through my pain and through my brokenness and through my heartaches and through my disaster moments. God, those moments are meant to elevate you more and more. So God, I give you what somebody did to me. I give you how I hurt somebody. I give you my disappointments. I give you my failures. I give you my hurt. But I don't just give it to you. You promise that you're going to use it as well. So God, I thank you and I love you. And I'm inspired to follow you all the days of my life because you are the God of peace. You are the God of power. You're the God of promise. And you're the God who protects. I love you, and I'm thankful for you. In Jesus' perfect name is who I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Christ alone, cornerstone, weak and strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord.
Each and every one of you to really connect to this idea that God equips our messes. God restores our brokenness. God just does a work inside of you, but also God promises to work through you in the brokenness that is in. The band's going to continue to sing, but after they sing, I invite you to join us in the auditorium. I invite you to join us in the auditorium for a special prayer. If you're the person that is tired of focusing on what you lack, that is tired of focusing on the heart, that is tired of being so consumed by the mess that is in your life, I encourage you to join in with us in the auditorium. But if that's not comfortable for you, that's something that you want to keep special and you want to keep private, I invite you pray where you're at. That you pray one more time and you say, okay, God, enough is enough. I can't do nothing with my mess, but you can. I can't take it away. I can't undo, but you can use it. You can use it, God. So as the band continues in prayer, as the band continues to sing, would you have a real moment with Christ? And would you say to him, use my mess.
Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before.
We'd love to be a blessing to you. As you leave today, just respect everybody 6 feet social distance. And remember, if you are going to join us at home for Lord's Supper, remember to grab a Lord's Supper pack at the internal exits on your way out. Have a great week, church.
Come to the altar.